Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for hope. That each one in this room is your child. Each person here who's accepted you, you also accepted them. And we receive hope from you tonight. And courage that we will finish our course. Father, I thank you. There's not one area in our life that we have to fail to. We may have fallen to it 1,000 times. We may have fallen to fear or pride or anger or lust or selfishness or self-pity or self-ambition. We may have struggled with things, sins and hurts and wounds. But they're not us. We don't accept those as who we are. We are overcoming those things. We are children of God, holy and pure, full of love and kindness and courage and strength and might and power. Tonight we acknowledge that this fight isn't in our own strength. It's not in our own ability. We don't have what it takes to win this fight in our own ability. So why would we think we need to be strong in ourselves or receive courage from our own heart? And Father, we receive courage from you. You're our strength. We are more than conquerors because of you. Our hope is in you, not in ourselves. Sondare si tarashando rupuko. There's a gift from heaven here tonight for us, for you, for me. It's courage, hope, strength. Our role is simply to stay on course. So, Father, we receive that right now. We don't have feeble knees. We don't turn to the left or to the right. But like flint, our face is set on going on the path and the direction that you've laid before us. We abandon ourselves into you, Father. I abandon myself into you. I give up trying to make my life happen or make my calling come to pass or to find happiness in myself. And I abandon myself completely, completely into your hands. You're my source of provision. You're my source of courage. You're my source of strength, hope. You're my source of love. Rabba sintere poco. Father, we don't need a good self-image. We need a good God image of who we are. We don't see ourselves as the one who's failed or fallen to the same thing over and over again. We see ourselves as you see us, heirs to the kingdom of God, children of a God who the devil and the enemy is scared of. Wherever our footsteps, we have dominion. Someone's having a hard time breathing. It may be from the seasonal thing, but this has more to do with the long term also. Problem. Just receive that right now. Right where you are, just receive that healing. Shondrabasitarabuko sandareboye. The enemy has been pelting you in your mind over and over again that you are failing or a failure. And that hope has been squeezed out of you where you don't feel like you'll ever get out, you'll ever overcome. Then I'm going to have Laura sing a song. And I'd just like you to come to the altar for a few moments. And I'm not going to pray for you, just do it for a few moments until you're done. But there's courage here. It's not in us, it's from heaven. That no matter what you're facing, could be from childhood, something you struggle with, habits and image of yourself. Let me just tell you something. Let me preach for 1 second. What this does, this walk that we're on of praying in the Holy Ghost and worship and fasting and, you know, confession, it allows us to actually become holy. It allows us to actually become whole. See? The walk I used to be on was one of ministry. In busyness for God, where I was able to hide behind my works, hide behind my preaching or prophesying, or and there was no hope because every time God used me, I felt like a fraud. Because I wasn't trying to go to God and change. I was trying to get God to use me the way I was. He'll use us along the way. But there's a fake, a shallow walk with God that you and I have to be careful of. He says, look how God used me. I must have it together. See, most of you have been long enough to say, I have no idea how he can use me. But see, that's pride when you look to what you do as who you are. There's a stripping down that we've been going through, an abandonment of ourselves to say, my image of who I am is no longer from what I do, but it's from who He has made me. See? So I'm asking you tonight, if you need courage and hope and strength to know and remind you that you may fall and struggle and worry, but if you don't quit, you're going to win. And He doesn't want you just to be used of Him and walk in power. He wants you to be whole on the inside, conquering every weakness in you. The hurts of the past no longer tell you who you are. Your failings in the past don't tell you who you are. That you are no longer that person. You're no longer needy or so Lord's going to lead us in a song. And if that's you, just come for a few minutes to the altar. Stay as long as you like, and we're just going to worship with you. But as you come, let that courage just enter into your spirit. Go ahead and lift up your hands one more time. Father, we just receive from you. Thank you, Father. We take it, courage and strength and hope. Thank you, Father. I think there's coming a time in our ministry to the world, when they come to receive from God, that the teaching will be less important. And the training of how to receive from God freely will be necessary. Sometimes we get our fight position on, you know, you get your dukes up, your hands up, and you walk around every day with your hands out, and you're ready to bust any devil that pokes his head up around the corner. You know. You walk around tense all day long. You're gonna beat that enemy, poverty, if I can just find him. Where is he? Just show me your head, I'll knock it off. But the more I'm learning to receive from God as my Father, I find my hands are softening up a little bit. I'm learning to walk more as more than a conqueror, than having to defeat everything myself. I remember when I'd read stories about John G. Lake and some of those incredible men of old who did amazing things. You know, John G. Lake sold everything and moved to Africa and took his family with him, and didn't have a penny in his pocket. I thought, what courage, what bravery, actually do that is so amazing. You know. And then the Lord told us to move across country, and I'm not trying to say that our actions was anything close to what they went through, but what I did discover, it wasn't courage in me that allowed me to follow God. It wasn't bravery that I can say I'm a brave man. How many of you have had to make decisions to follow God that didn't make sense? Sure. We all have, if you prayed in the Holy Ghost. And see, the courage to do that doesn't come from yourself. It comes from trust. Trusting that you have a Father who loves you. That's number one. But number two, getting rid of the unworthiness that tells you you're not worthy to receive from Him. I think there is more. How do I say this? It's easier to fight for something because at least you feel like you're doing something than it is to learn how to receive. See, our fighting should be with ourselves. To get us to learn how to receive from Him everything He's done for us. Instead of having to fight the enemy. I remember one lady, she was in spiritual warfare. She came to me, she said, "Yeah, I've been in battle with some witch somewhere. And she's been sending all these demons my way, and tell you what I did. I took the word of God and I turned those demons back on her 7 times. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're not in mortal combat with some other woman." I said, "You're supposed to turn blessings back on her." Don't mind me, I'm just kind of not in the mood to preach right now. One time, I was reading, I think it was Benny Hinn. In one of his books, he said, I'm pretty sure it's him, I may be wrong, but that the presence of God comes in silence. And I thought, oh. So the next church service I was booked to preach at down in Alabama, I went down there and I said, "The presence of God comes in silence." So I made everyone just sit there quietly. And we looked at each other for 45 minutes. When someone blinked, everyone looked to see what happened. Well, I still don't know if the presence of God comes in silence or not, but tonight I'm in no hurry to preach. I'm just enjoying receiving this presence here. I think we run through His presence sometimes too often, try to get some knowledge, when really everything we need is in that presence. And think about it. You're in a fight, but your fight isn't with the devil. The devil's already defeated. So your battle's with unbelief. That you don't believe. Well, there's a good chance that your fight, your unbelief isn't that God isn't a healer. It's that you don't believe you're worthy to receive it. You're not worthy. So when you don't feel worthy, rather than trust that it's going to be there, provision, you start fighting for it. honestly believe that in His presence, He can do a million things, unspoken things in your life. That when you are in His presence and willing to receive, that He's able to go into your home when you're sitting here, go into your children's places, into your future, into your finances. That He can do a million things just in His presence. See, the road to your answered prayer has to do with you being fixed in your believing part of you. If you believe it, see, you know it's coming. You know it's going to happen. You can be called the business, and everything about you thinks about bringing in $1 billion. You've tried every scheme out there, every multi-level thing that comes through. You signed up and failed. You have a garage full of vacuum cleaners and old boxes of vitamins and dishwashers for cleaning stuff. Special this. All of it was going to help you make your ministry come to pass. But when we abandon ourselves, we become safe in saying, God, I don't look at how much money I have in the bank account right now as a sign of how I'm doing in my calling. Maybe there's a man who manages McDonald's. And he's a bitter man. And he's a horrible boss. And God says to you, I want you to go work at McDonald's for 10 years. And let that guy make fun of you. And I want you to live with what you make from McDonald's. Nothing wrong with working at McDonald's, but what if you are educated for a different job? What if God said, I think that you are the only one who could rescue him, because I'm going to let him abuse you verbally for 10 years, and you're going to take it and only give him love back? And those little 18-year-old girls are going to get promoted and be your boss. And that's what I want from you for the next 10 years. See, we can release our future into His hands when we know that it's not on my shoulders. See, I'm not looking in the mirror of my works to tell me where I'm at in my calling. I'm looking for His smile on His face that says, well done. You are where I want you to be. Where do you think the drive inside of us for ministry or performing or being used comes from? Fear that He isn't there for me, or I'm not worthy for Him to use me. I'm starting to preach good now, I can tell. The offering He wants from us is not our works. It's our life. I thought for sure, you know, hearing Pastor Dave's testimony. How he quit his job and went full time, and 3 months later, someone gave him a big fat check. See, I was scared to death when I followed God here to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I didn't even know how. I thought I knew faith, but I didn't know anything about faith. I knew how to make ministry provide for you. But how do you actually let God provide for you? But when He's all you have, see, He tricked me, Jehovah Sneaky, into trusting Him with my life. And slowly, I let go of all the ways of fixing things. And I didn't know it because He was hugging me. See, He had His arms around me. I felt safe. Kind of like, okay, this is good. I'm going to, you know, it's romantic to say I'm going to go pray 8 hours a day. That's a romantic thought. Until you have to do it. Then it's not romantic anymore. It's like He wrapped His arms around me. I felt safe. It's going to be okay. And as He has His arms wrapped around me, He was slowly clipping off all the shallowness of who I was, and ways of provision. And then when He had pruned me and cut off all the fake imagery, all my security, fake security, He then took His hands off of me and took about 10 steps away. And all of a sudden, I felt completely naked and abandoned. But see, I may have felt like I was failing. I may have felt like I had lost ground. But the truth of it is, I had gained ground and was actually seeing where I truly was. And all He was asking me to do when He walked away was He just took 10 steps further to my high call. Said, now come to me. Come spend time with me. I'm your answer. I'm the only way you're going to fulfill everything that I put in you. I'm the answer for your family. I'm the answer for your finances. I'm the answer for your calling. Come closer. In that moment of nakedness, I could have fixed it and picked up all those false securities and felt safe that way. Or I could have trusted Him and walked closer into Him. So when I walked closer into Him, I felt safe again, and then I found He pruned me some more. It's not just one clipping I needed. And then He walked further the way. Clip me and walk away. Clip me and walk away. I didn't realize how much a mess I am. I would much rather take 40 years to get it right than to spend 40 years wasting my time in something that's not real. You ever notice how God's not nervous? Well, I just want to say this again. when the new ones come for revival, I think there'll be an importance on training them how to receive from God. Because I believe there's anointings that we're walking in, we're about to walk in, that will help people skip about 10 years ahead. What are we going to do when preachers don't get credit? My Lord. The worship team isn't special. They're just the worship team. What kind of family is that? All right, I'll give you one scripture. It's over in John. Chapter 14. Verse 50. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. How many here have the Holy Spirit in you right now? Now look at verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You may feel alone, but you're not. You may feel abandoned, but you're not. You may feel hopeless, but you're not. You may feel that it's up to you to make everything come to pass, but you're not. You are not orphaned. All that's happening to us when we're struggling in fear is we are putting to death the right of our outward man to fix our problem. And are leaning on believing God with our spirit that he is our solution. I used to be a little too quick in my counsel for people. I have a problem. I'll fix it. I get in trouble for my wife because, you know, they come to my office and within about 20 seconds, I'd have already analyzed what they were telling me and going to finish telling me. And I didn't need to hear the rest, but I'd politely look at them and smile. But I'd already tuned them out. And I was waiting for them to quit talking so I can tell them how to fix their problem, you know. And I was really good at it. I got in trouble for my wife for not listening long enough. But people are people, you know. Pretty much you can figure out pretty quick. But see, my answers are mostly how to fix it in their soul or by their soul. I'm not as quick anymore. I'm having to actually listen to the Holy Spirit to find out what advice he wants to give them Because what you can fix in your own soul may not be needed to be fixed. There's a better way through you listening and obeying. Watch you stand with me tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you tonight. We are not orphans. You not abandon us. We don't have to figure this out ourselves or be strong in ourselves or courageous in ourselves. We just receive from you our strength and our courage, our direction, our hope. You're everything to us. Tonight we love you and glorify you. And we receive that courage and knowledge that we are going to finish this race. I am going to finish my course and conquer my flesh. Sacrifice it on your altar as a living sacrifice and be a vessel of honor. So, Father, we just humble ourselves tonight and thank you that right now we have enough of everything we need to follow you, and we choose follow you. Give you the glory and honor for every good thing in our life. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want prayer tonight, I'll be glad to stay. I'm going to release you.